Canto 4, Section 5, Number 41. Then came a fierier breath of waking life, and there arose from the dim gulf of things the strange creations of a thinking sense, existences half real and half dream. A life was there that hoped not to survive. Beings were born who perished without trace, events that were a formless drama's limbs, and actions driven by a blind creature will. A seeking power found out its road to form. Patterns were built of love and joy and pain, and symbol figures for the moods of life. An insect hedonism fluttered and crawled, and basked in a sunlit nature's surface thrills, and dragon raptures, python agonies, crawled in the marsh and mire and licked the sun. Huge armored strengths shook the fragile quaking ground, great prescient creatures with a dwarfish brain, and pygmy tribes imposed their small life drift. In a dwarfed model of humanity, nature now launched the extreme experience and master point of her design's caprice, luminous result of her half-conscious climb, on rungs twixt her sublimities and grotesques, too massive from infinitesimal shapes, to a subtle balancing of body and soul, to an order of intelligent littleness. Around him, in the moment beats of time, the kingdom of the animal self arose, where deed is all and mind is still half born, and the heart obeys a dumb unseen control. The force that works by the light of ignorance, her animal experiment began, crowding with conscious creatures her world scheme. But to the outward only were they alive. Only they replied to touches and surfaces, and to the prick of need that drove their lives. A body that knew not its own soul within, there lived and longed, had wrath and joy and grief. A mind was there that met the objective world, as if a stranger or enemy at its door. Its thoughts were needed by the shocks of sense. It captured not the spirit in the form. It entered not the heart of what it saw. It looked not for the power behind the act. It studied not the hidden motive in things, nor strove to find the meaning of it all. Beings were there who wore a human form. Absorbed, they lived in the passion of the scene, but knew not who they were or why they lived. Life had for them no aim save nature's joy and the stimulus and delight of outer things. They worked for the body's wants. They craved no more, content to breathe, to feel, to sense, to act, identified with the spirit's outward shell. The veiled spectator watching from their depths fixed not his inward eye upon himself, nor turned to find the author of the plot. He saw the drama only and the stage. There was no brooding stress of deeper sense. The burden of reflection was not borne. Mind looked on nature with unknowing eyes, adored her boons, and feared her monstrous strokes. It pondered not on the magic of her laws. It thirsted not for the secret wells of truth, but made a register of crowding facts and strung sensations on a vivid thread. It hunted and it fled and sniffed the winds, or slothed inert in sunshine and soft air. It sought the engrossing contacts of the world, but only to feed the surface sense with bliss. These felt life's quiver in the outward touch. They could not feel behind the touch the soul. To guard their form of self from nature's harm, to enjoy and to survive was all their care. The narrow horizon of their days was filled with things and creatures that could help and hurt. The world's values hung upon their little self. Isolated, cramped in the vast unknown, to save their small lives from surrounding death, they made a tiny circle of defense against the siege of the huge universe. They preyed upon the world and were its prey, but never dreamed to conquer and be free. Obeying the world powers, hints, and firm taboos, a scanty part they drew from her rich store. There was no conscious code and no life plan. The patterns of thinking of a little group fixed a traditional behavior's law. Ignorant of soul, save as a wraith within, tied to a mechanism of unchanging lives, and to a dull usual sense and feelings beat, they turned in grooves of animal desire. In walls of stone, fenced round, they worked and warred, did by abandoned selfishness a small good, or wrought a dreadful wrong and cruel pain on sentient lives, and thought they did no ill. Ardent from the sack of happy, peaceful homes, and gorged with slaughter, plunder, rape, and fire, they made of human selves their helpless prey, a drove of captives led to lifelong woe, or torture, a spectacle made in holiday, mocking or thrilled by their torn victims' pangs, admiring themselves as titans and as gods. Proudly they sang their high and glorious deeds, and praised their victory and their splendid force. An animal in the instinctive herd, pushed by life impulses, forced by common needs, each in his own kind saw his ego's glass, all served the aim and action of the pack. Those like himself by blood or custom kin, to him were parts of his life, his adjunct selves, his personal nebulas, constituent stars, satellite companions of his solar eye. A master of his life's environment, a leader of a huddled human mass, herding for safety on a dangerous earth, he gathered them round him as if minor powers to make a common front against the world, or weak in soul on an indifferent earth, as a fortress for his undefended heart, or else to heal his body's loneliness. In others than his kind, he sensed a foe, an alien unlike force to shun and fear, a stranger and adversary to hate and slay. Or he lived as lives the solitary brute. At war with all, he bore his single fate. Absorbed in the present act, the fleeting days, none thought to look beyond the hour's gains, or dream to make this earth a fairer world, or felt some touch divine surprise his heart. The gladness that the fugitive moment gave, the desire grasped, the bliss, the experience won, movement and speed and strength were joy enough, and bodily longings shared and quarrel and play, and tears and laughter and the need called love. In war and clasp, these life wants joined the all life, wrestlings of a divided unity, inflicting mutual grief and happiness, in ignorance of the self forever one. arming its creatures with delight and hope. A half-awakened nescience struggled there to know by sight and touch the outside of things. Instinct was formed in memory's crowded sleep. The past lived on as in a bottomless sea, inverting into half-thought the quickened sense. She felt around for truth with fumbling hands, clutched to her the little she could reach and seize, and put aside in her subconscient cave. So must the dim being grow in light and force, and rise to his higher destiny at last, look up to God and round at the universe, and learn by failure and progress by fall, and battle with environment and doom, by suffering discover his deep soul, and by possession grow to his own vasts. Halfway she stopped and found her faith no more. Still nothing was achieved but to begin, yet finished seemed the circle of her force. Only she had beaten out sparks of ignorance. Only the life could think and not the mind. Only the sense could feel and not the soul. Only was lit some heat of the flame of life, some joy to be, some rapturous leaps of sense. All was an impetus of half-conscious force, a spirit sprawling, drowned in dense life foam, a vague self-grasping at the shape of things. Behind all moved, seeking for vessels to hold, a first raw vintage of the grapes of God, on earth's mud a splith of the supernal bliss, intoxicating the stupefied soul and mind, a heady wine of rapture dark and crude, dim, uncast yet into spiritual form, obscure inhabitant of the world's blind core, an unborn Godhead's will, a mute desire.